Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Hello, welcome. So wonderful to have all of you with us today. It's an incredible occasion. Easter was one of those things that as a child I didn't really think much of, to be totally honest. It was a day that you got a lot of chocolate, but as a non-Christian, it was really not much more than that. But now, obviously, as a Christian, this day is the most significant day of the year. It signifies the most significant event in human history. As one person put it in a debate, if you accept that the resurrection of Jesus happened, it changes the nature of the universe because it turns the world from a world of chaos into a world of order. As the 17th century poet George Herbert put it, can there be any day but this? Though many suns to shine endeavor, we count 300, but we miss. There is but one, and that one forever. So today I'm going to be talking about the resurrection of Jesus and what that tells us about the love of God. But before I get into it, as usual, I think it's best to pray. So if you'll bow your heads with me. My Lord and God, you provide for us out of the great abundance of your love every day. And though we may see it or not, we know that you're there with us, guiding us along and providing for us. What you did for us all those years ago is a greater act of love than anything that we could ever repay. But we're here to honor you tonight. So please speak through me, Lord, and let your Holy Spirit do justice to a topic that my lips could never do justice to. Amen. All right. When I was trying to think of something to do for this topic, I spent a long time thinking about it. I thought about talking about the history of the resurrection, the different debates around the historicity, the nature of the miraculous in a scientific age. But my heart really went back to the idea of God's love. It's something that is a theme that comes out throughout all the Gospels and the Epistles and through the passages of the Old Testament as well. And I think that the central thesis of my sermon, if I could sum it up, is to say that Jesus died to show his character, but he came back to show God's. Without the resurrection, Jesus would be another man who had died, like many others before him. There are other historic figures like Socrates who died for a high moral cause and inspired people by that. But Jesus was the one person who died for a good cause and came back to prove that he meant something by it that was eternal, that had implications for all of us. So I think that to properly understand this topic, we need to go to John's Gospel a little bit earlier on. Shortly before Jesus is arrested, he's gathered together with his disciples, and he's giving them a long speech about being the true vine. So I'm just going to read from a little bit of the Gospel of John here. It's John 15:9, if you want to follow along. So it says, "As my Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have spoken these things with you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. This is my command, that you each love one another as I have loved you." A new command. For the people of first century Judea and Palestine, they understood God's love through the laws of the Torah. They had a covenantal relationship with God. The idea of covenant and command in our society today is one that is completely separated, but in their time period, they knew that they had a relationship with God because of what God had given to them. But when Jesus comes and speaks of this new commandment, he's saying there is more to this covenant than just that. There is more than the word of the law. There is the love that I am going to show you. And in the passage immediately following that, he says, oh, pardon me. "There is no greater love than this, that someone lay down their life for the sake of their friends." There are a lot of different themes of love that run prominent in our society today, in literature, in music, in art. It's one of the most prominent things that we talk about. I've even heard people say you've probably heard it as well, the popular adage, God is love, which we hear in the Bible. And now people say, love is God. We were watching a movie the other night, and one of the characters is sort of in this dialogue about a love that they've lost, and they said, I would never trust something as important as love to God. It's an idea that a lot of us believe in. I think even innately, without realizing it, we think of the loves of this world as being so important that how could we possibly lay that in God's hands? How could we possibly resign ourselves to accepting that God could have that in hand? Well, it's a very difficult question. But Jesus shows his love in that he does the thing that he said he was going to do. He came down. He allowed himself to be crucified on a cross. He didn't make any defense. He didn't protest. He didn't say that his disciples were involved. He didn't throw them under the bus. He died for his friends, and he preached about this love that he was dying for shortly before being arrested. And even as all of his disciples deserted him, he still died for that love. And this is what you probably would have heard about on Friday. God's love was a sacrificial love. Jesus' disciples knew that he was a great teacher, and many of them believed that he was the Messiah. They knew that he had a unique role in history. So when he died for them, they would have felt it. But at that time, as we learn from history, there were actually many other messianic movements whose leaders had died. I think we have evidence of about 100 other ones. And as the leaders of all of these movements died, their followers dispersed. They tried to make sense of what had happened and eventually realized, of course, that they had gotten it wrong. Except one. And that is the one that we all believe in today. Because Jesus came back. So why? Why did Jesus come back? Well, I think to answer that properly, you have to go to all of the different Gospels give us a different insight into that, but I think that Matthew's is particularly important in understanding this. So I'm just going to read Matthew 28. You can read along if you have your Bible with you. I encourage you to do so, actually, because I'm reading from the Syriac Bible, so mine might not actually sound that much like some of yours. So on the evening of the Sabbath, when the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. Behold, there was a great quake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven. He went to the tomb, rolled the stone away from the entrance, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. Because of their fear of him, those who were keeping guard trembled and became like dead men. The angel responded to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are seeking Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said." Here we have one of the first insights. Jesus came back to show his disciples and all of us for all history that he was exactly who he said he was. He predicted his death. He predicted his resurrection. His disciples, when he had died, it seems like they'd lost hope. In the passages that we looked at, we read some of these in our church service this morning. They'd given up. They thought that they were like any of those other movements. They knew that they were trying to make sense of it, but they knew that it hadn't ended the way that they had hoped it would. But he came back to show them that they were right. That they were wrong in that sense, but they were right for having believed in him in the first place. So the women go, they tell the other disciples, and Jesus comes and meets them. And he says, "Peace to you." They came to him, taking hold of his feet and bowing down before him. So here again, they took hold of his feet. Jesus was resurrected. He wasn't a ghost or an apparition. Some modern scholars have tried to make the claim that perhaps they did experience some sort of visionary, some people have traumatic experience and they see something after a person has died. But no. All of the different Gospels make it abundantly clear that Jesus had a physical resurrection. He came back and his disciples touched him and ate with him. So then he tells the disciples to go along and that he's going to meet with them again. And this is where we hear something quite, quite important. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Jesus commanded a lot of things to his disciples, but at the heart of all of those commands was this great love that he had spoken of. To love other people is to lay down your life for them. In Christian churches today, a lot of people, I think, are uncomfortable with this idea. In the West, we live in a society where, for the most part, our lives are not threatened at every corner when we affirm our faith in Christ. But there are other countries in the world where that isn't true. In places like Egypt, in the Middle East, in China, in Iran, these are places where Christianity is massive, but those people are under the constant threat of death. But they aren't frightened to die for what they believe in, just like the first disciples were, because they knew that Jesus said this and that he is with them, and that God's love was made complete in the resurrection, and that the love that Jesus spoke of was a love that Jesus was willing to go through first, to die and to have life anew. So what are we commanded to do? We're commanded to follow Jesus' example. We're commanded to love one another as Jesus loved us. And that means in life and in death. It means loving your neighbor so much that you would be willing to lay down your life for them. I'm sure most people in this room, although I may be wrong, I'm sure a lot of people in this room haven't been put in a situation where that is a risk. And if you have, I know that it must have been a terrifying experience. I've never had to be in that situation before. And I don't know what I would do. I pray only that God would give me the strength that I would need for that moment. But as the Gospels show us, it is a very difficult thing to do. And all of his disciples deserted him. They didn't have that. But in knowing the resurrected Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit, we might receive the ability to follow that command, to follow Jesus to the cross and in all the sufferings that that may lead to. And Jesus' final statement in the Gospel of Matthew, and remember that I am with you always to the end of the age. We live in a society that subverts what we believe, not through violence, but through the constant undermining of the message of faith. We're poised against science, against philosophy, against even religious historical studies. A lot of people I speak to are horrified to find that there are a lot of Christian scholars in the world who are not Christians, who are actively anti-Christian, in fact. And despite the complexities of these questions, no one has ever been able to undermine the validity of the resurrection. But I know that people will always try, because while our world is still ruled by evil, there will always be people who try to undermine the truth of Jesus' resurrection. But that didn't scare Jesus, and it didn't scare his followers, and it shouldn't scare us either, because no matter how much the world puts against us, Jesus went first, and he was willing to die for us, so we should be willing to die for him and to live for him and to die for one another and to live for one another. It's a scary thought, but it's one that I encourage all of you to think about, because there is no love in this world that is worth dying for except the love of God. God bless you all. It's been an absolute joy sharing with you, and I hope that you have a very blessed and happy Easter. And I hope that you all feel greatly encouraged by the thought that Jesus is with you now and he will be until the end of the age. And no matter what sufferings you may endure in this life, we will all be reunited with him at the end of days.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.